I want to present a lesson to you that's aimed more toward the young people, although it's very applicable for all of us. And I'm using an expression that I've heard parents use quite a bit, and I've used just a little bit to help express the things within this lesson, and that expression is, remember who you are. And you know, school is just let out, and it's going to be time to go on vacation, and we're going to be going to the beach and all sorts of things like that. And we need to remember who we are, because there's a lot of activities that go on in the summertime, well, all around the year. A lot of activities that go on, a lot of people involved with a lot of things, and as Christians, we're not to be involved with those things, but it's real easy to get wrapped up in them. And so we need to be careful. We need to remember who we are and what we are, and to make sure that we're doing the right things and not get carried away with what everyone else in the world is doing. So we need to remember who we are. Be turning your Bibles with me over to 1 John chapter 4, as we've already read this morning from John chapter 3, verse 16, as Alan read with our scripture reading this morning. That God loved the world so much that He sent His only begotten Son to the earth, and Jesus died for us so that believing in Him we would not perish but have everlasting life. In 1 John chapter 4, and beginning in verse 9, we read this about God. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. Now this is what God did for us. We need to remember that we are God's children. And we need not forget that. We'll talk about in just a moment as we look at the things God has done for us. And we'll talk about the fact that we are to imitate and we're to be like God and we're to be godly as we walk throughout this world and in life. We need to remember that we are God's children, and we're God's children because of what He did for us, and that He sent Jesus Christ, His only Son, to die upon the cross. That God gave His Son. And that we're children of God's because of the great gift that He gave. And that was His Son, His only begotten Son. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And Jesus coming to earth, I want us to notice what Jesus has done for us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verses 9 through 10. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with Him. God sent Jesus to earth, and He gave us His only begotten Son, and Jesus died for our sins. As we observe the Lord's Supper this morning, as we had our thoughts regarding Jesus and His death upon the cross, and as Brother Flatt was leading us in these thoughts, we remember that Jesus Christ bled upon the cross, and He did that for you and I so that our sins could be taken away. And when we are confronted with the thoughts of sin, when we are confronted with the things that people are doing in the world, when we perhaps go to the beach and we're enjoying the time there and there are things going on that we should not be involved in, but there's a great temptation to give in and be involved in those things. Remember, you are God's child. Remember that God sent His Son to die for you. Remember that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, and do not give in to those temptations. Turn your Bibles with me over to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Here the Apostle Paul is talking about being God's children. And in so doing, being the descendants of Abraham, and therefore having the promise of eternal salvation which God offered long time ago. And beginning in verse 26, Galatians 3 and verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Now, I want you to remember this. I want you to think about this. As you're going to the movies, and there's a lot of movies out this time of year, as you're spending more time at home and you'll be watching TV a little more and on the internet a little more, think about this fact that you are clothed with Christ. Would Jesus be participating in the things that you are doing? Would He be doing the things that you are doing? Remember that you take Jesus with you everywhere that you go, that He's there all of the time, that you're never there all alone. You've been baptized into Christ. You've been clothed with Christ. Verse 29, and if you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. You are an heir of the promise God has made of eternal salvation. Go to chapter 4 and now look in verse 4. And when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that He might redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Think about this for a moment. When you obeyed Jesus Christ and you were baptized into Christ, God adopted you. Paul tells us in Colossians 1 and verse 13, you were rescued from the domain of darkness and transferred to the kingdom of His dear Son. You were adopted to be God's son, God's daughter. And think about that. As you go throughout the summer, as you go from day to day, as you go throughout your activities, I am a child of God. God adopted me. God brought me into His family, into His household. God adopted me. I am His child. Remember who you are. Turn your Bibles with me over to Ephesians chapter 5. Alan, is the mic working okay up here? It is okay. The battery's a little not doing very well. I wanted to make sure. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Now, all the things we've talked about thus far, now Paul brings it to this as he's getting ready to come to the end of this epistle, and he's offering up various admonitions. Ephesians 5, verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. You are a child of God. God has adopted you. He has brought you into His household. He has rescued you from the domain of darkness. He has made you His child, and now it's our responsibility to imitate as beloved children, those children whom God loves so much, to send His only begotten Son. Now we are to imitate Him. We are to be godly. We are to display godly qualities in our life. Turn your Bibles with me over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and beginning in verse 9. Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 9. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Listen to me, young people. Every day of your life. But now this is a special time. You have a little more time on your hands. You'll be doing some special things. You'll maybe be going on vacation, have special events. You'll be going to camp. You'll be going to the beach maybe a little bit more. Remember this, that we're to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Walk in a manner worthy of being the child of God that you are. Walk in a manner that's worthy of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed upon the cross for you. Walk in a worthy manner. What else does it say? To please Him in all respects. Everything. Not just most of the things, but in everything. Bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 11, strengthened with all power. Young folks, God is not going to leave you alone. God is not going to leave you to have to deal with these things all by yourself. God is going to be with you, and Jesus is going to be with you. You're going to have the strength and the power and the ability, not tempted beyond what you can bear. There's always going to be a way of escape there for you, but you're the one who has to make up your mind to do the right thing. And if you make up your mind, and if you're determined to do the right thing, to stay away from the evil, to shun evil, to live the right way, God is going to give you the strength to do that, and don't ever doubt it. There's never going to be a time when you do not have the strength or the ability to do the right things. Now, let me illustrate this. Turn your Bibles with me over to Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. Throughout the book of Revelation, this is illustrated by having the name of God on your forehead, or having the name or the symbol of the devil. Now, John in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 10 puts it like this, that everyone upon the earth is either a son of God or a son of the devil, one or the other. Everyone in the whole wide world is one or the other. And so you either have the name of God on you, or written on you, or the name of the devil. This identifies you. Is it literally written? No, not literally. How is it written on you? By your conduct, by the things that you display to the world. It tells people, I am a Christian, or I'm not a Christian. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 1, then I looked, and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. Now, the 144,000 represents the saved. And here they have the name of Jesus Christ. I am a Christian. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I have been adopted by God. They have this written on their forehead for everyone to see. Sort of like having one of those t-shirts on, and somebody will say something on a t-shirt and it's for everybody to read. Remember the old shirts, and maybe you can still get them today. It had WWJD, what would Jesus do? Well, the Christian doesn't ask the question, what would Jesus do? The Christian says, this is what Jesus would do because I'm a Christian. The way I'm living, the way I'm acting, this is what Jesus would do. This is displayed in our conduct and our character, and therefore the name of God, God is written on us. Turn your Bibles, well, just follow along in chapter 14 of Revelation, and we'll go down to verse 11. Verse 11. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. They have no rest day and night, those who are lost. Those who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. You see, by our conduct and the things that we do, we're telling people we're a Christian or we're not a Christian. And we could be telling people we're a Christian 90% of the time, but if we go and we make the mistakes that we make, or we give in to temptation, for that moment in time, we're telling someone we're not a Christian. Or perhaps with our mouth, we're confessing that we're a Christian, but we're showing the wrong way to live, and then what are we doing? We're not leading people to God, we're leading people to the devil. Yes, you have a great responsibility. All of us here, young people included, the way that we live and our character, we're leading others either to heaven or to eternal damnation. Turn your Bibles over to Revelation chapter 22. I want you to notice that the name of God will be on us for eternity. Revelation 22, verse 4, the very lengthy scene of heaven and now the throne of God, verse 4, and they will see his face and his name will be on their foreheads. Now, listen to this. If his name is on your forehead today, in other words, you're a faithful Christian, you're displaying that to the world, you're going to be in heaven. That name is not going to come off. That name is not going to be removed, but If you do not have the name of God on you, if you're bearing the name of the devil today, you will not be in heaven with God and all of His children. Remember who you are. You are God's child. His name is written on you. Bear fruit. Please Him in all respects. Be godly in all of your behavior. Well, let's look at it another way. You are Christ's brother. Now, we don't think about this very often, do we? We don't talk about it very often. But I think it's a good thing to talk about. Turn your Bibles with me over to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 11. This does not mean that we are equal to Jesus Christ. It's not what it's talking about here. But that we are brethren. That He is our brother. He is of higher rank. He is God. He is divine. And yet we are brethren. Now, this speaks of the great privilege of being a Christian. We'll talk about that as we go. But look at Hebrews chapter 2 and Hebrews 2 and verse 11. For both He who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father. For which reason He is not ashamed to call them brethren. The one who sanctifies, that's Jesus Christ. He came to earth and preached the gospel and went to the cross. He sanctifies. And the one who is sanctified, they are brethren. Jesus Christ is not ashamed to call us His brethren. He's proud. That would be the opposite. He looks upon us and He's happy and He rejoices and He's proud. He didn't go to the cross for nothing. It was profitable. It was meaningful. It was effective. He looks down upon us and He's happy and He's rejoicing. Go down to verse 17. Therefore, He had to be made like His brethren in all things to sanctify us, to take His sins upon His body and take them to the cross, 2 Peter 2:24. He had to be made just like us in all points, emptying Himself. For a short time to come to earth and to be made in the form of a slave, a bond servant, so that He could die on the cross for us. Therefore, He had to be made like His brethren in all things so that He might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make propitiation, to be the atonement, to be the atoning sacrifice so that our sins could be forgiven and washed away in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, we are His brethren and He is our brother. Turn your Bibles with me over to Romans chapter 8. Therefore, we are joint heirs with Christ. Romans chapter 8, and I want you to think about this. Jesus Christ, before coming to earth, Jesus was in heaven at the throne of God. And He left all of that to come down to earth and to live the life that He lived and suffer the cross, being obedient even to the point of death. And He did that to take us who are sinners and to make us into a joint heir. Joint heir. A fellow heir with Himself. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs, I like the King James, joint heirs with Christ. How many people are you going to find that live today in the world and they're going to go out and to take someone who is one of the worst people that ever live upon the face of the earth, and then to make that individual a joint heir. Joint heir. This is what Jesus did for us. He is God's Son. We are children of God. We are God's sons. And therefore we are joint heirs with Christ. We are His brethren and He is our brother. Remember, you are Christ's brother. Think of all that He has done for you. And remember that. Remember who you are. Remember what you are. Turn your Bibles with me over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. As a joint heir with Christ, you as a faithful Christian will reign with Him. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12. We do not very often look at ourselves as reigning together with Christ, but that's the way it's expressed in the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse, well, go up to verse 11. It is a trustworthy statement, for if we died with Him, we will also live with Him. And of course, you remember, we die with Christ when we're baptized with Christ into His death, buried with Him to rise up to newness of life. Verse 12, if we endure, we will reign with Him. Now, let's look at a few scriptures regarding reigning with Christ. Turn your Bibles with me over to Revelation chapter 5 and verse 10. And as you do that, I will confess to you that I do not understand all the details of this are not revealed within the Word of God. I do not understand how it is that we could be reigning with Christ. I do not understand how it is we reign over the nations of the earth and in all such great detail. I do not understand how it is that we will be reigning with Christ throughout eternity. We'll see that in just a moment. But I believe that it's true in whatever fashion God has planned for us as His children. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 10. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. The things which are being foretold here in the book of Revelation that were quickly to take place, those events have already occurred. It is true that the saints now are reigning upon the earth today, but it is a kingdom to God and priests. It is a spiritual reign, as Jesus did not physically reign as a king upon the earth. Our reign is not physical upon the earth, but it is a spiritual reigning with Jesus Christ, who is our Savior, who is our God, who is our brother, with whom we have joint heirship. If He reigns, it makes sense that we would reign. Turn your Bibles also further in the book of Revelation to chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6. Here speaking of the 1,000 years. Remember, as you read through this chapter, after the 1,000 years, that's a long, complete period of time, has been completed, then Satan will be released once again to deceive the nations. Fire will come down from heaven and destroy them, and they will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Then comes the judgment. But I want you to notice in verse 6, during the 1,000 years, blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power. Remember, as explained later on, the second death is after the judgment. Those who are not faithful to the Lord are cast into the lake of fire. That is the second death. Over those, the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with Him for 1,000 years. Finally, turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 22 and verse 5. Here again, we have already read verse 4 earlier in the lesson, but here in verse 5, now in heaven for eternity with God at the throne of God, verse 5, and there will no longer be any night, and they will not have need of the light of a lamp, nor of the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. Remember who you are. You are a child of God. You've been adopted to be God's child. You are Christ's brother. He came to earth to die for you upon the cross. You are joint heirs with Christ, and you reign with Him for eternity. Remember who you are. Do not get caught up in the things which go on in the world and all the temptations that exist therein. Do not get caught up in that. Do not try to rationalize going here or going here or doing that, and those things are wrong. Remember who you are. God's name is written on you. Let's make sure we act that way. The third point in the lesson, let's say it like this. You are a citizen of heaven. Turn your Bibles with me over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and beginning in verse 20. Philippians chapter 3 and beginning in verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory. Now think about that. Our citizenship is in heaven. It's true, we live upon the earth, we have a physical citizenship. Most of us here are citizens of the United States of America. But also we have spiritual citizenship as God's children, joint heirs with Christ, His brethren, reigning with Him. We are citizens of heaven. And therefore we are eagerly waiting for Jesus Christ to come back. And are you eagerly waiting for our Savior Jesus Christ to return, who will transform our humble estate into a glorious body such as He has by exerting His power upon us? That's the end of that verse we haven't read yet. Conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power that He has even to subject all things to Himself. Remember who you are. Are you eagerly waiting for Jesus Christ? At the beach this summer, are you looking up into the sky eagerly waiting for Jesus Christ? At the movies, you're at home selecting what movie to see. You're investigating the movie. What's going on in that movie? What's occurring in that movie? Maybe you're watching TV and something is occurring. Are you eagerly waiting for Jesus Christ? Certainly you would not want Jesus Christ to come and you are engaged in things that are wrong and that are improper. Eagerly wait for Jesus Christ. Know that you're going to have a spiritual body, that you're going to take off this physical tent and you'll have a spiritual body and you'll be with the Lord forevermore. Turn your Bibles with me over to Ephesians chapter 2. Your citizenship is in heaven and you are one part of many parts of God's temple wherein He lives in the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. You are adopted into this household by God. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. See yourself as being part of that temple. See yourself as being one of the stones of that temple. Remember who you are. You are God's child. You are Christ's brother. You are part of this temple wherein God lives in the Spirit. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Therefore, concluding from the things that we have said, building upon all of them this morning, therefore you have a responsibility what you do with your body, your mind, your physical body, your thoughts, everything. You have a responsibility because of who you are and what you are. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and beginning in verse 19, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? That makes sense, doesn't it? You are a child of God. You've been adopted by God to be a member of His household. You are one part of the many parts composed in the temple, the apostles being the foundation, Jesus Christ being the cornerstone Himself. Therefore, your body. Is also involved in all of this. What else does it say? Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own. Why? Verse 20. For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. You've been bought with a price. And what was that price? The precious blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, you do not belong to yourself anymore. You have been bought, you've been purchased. Yes, at one time you had sold yourself to sin. You had sold yourself to the devil. But when you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you were bought, you were purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ, and you are not your own anymore. You belong to God, therefore glorify God in your body. What you think, where you go, what you do, what you participate in. Remember who you are. Citizens of the kingdom of God, stones in His temple. Don't forget. Think about it every day. Young people making the decision what you're going to do this summer, what you're participating in, make that decision based on this fact of who you are. You are God's child. You are Christ's brother. You are a citizen of heaven. You have a responsibility. And I trust that you'll live up to it. Not only today, not only this summer, but every day. Remember who you are and never forget it. We're going to extend the gospel invitation now. If you'd like to get your songbooks out, turn to number 278. 278, if you're a Christian this morning, God's name is written upon you, on your forehead. If you're not a Christian this morning, you're bearing the name of the devil. And that can be changed. The name of the devil can be taken off. The name of God will be put on this morning before you leave this place. You too can be adopted by God, rescued from the domain of darkness, transferred into the glorious kingdom of Jesus Christ to be God's child, to be Christ's brother. And you will have citizenship in heaven today. God is calling the prodigal. If you're subject to the gospel invitation at all, won't you please come to the front as we stand and sing.